Jesse drove James Earl up to the bluffs, to where the Salter House once stood overlooking the ocean. After a young woman had been shot to death in the old Victorian, and the family's unsavory business practices had been revealed, the Salters had decided to demolish the place. When Jesse first came to Paradise, the bluffs were crowded with Victorian manses built by the 19th century movers and shakers of Paradise. Now, only a few remained. But Jesse found the bluffs to be the most peaceful and beautiful part of Paradise, and he thought it might have put James Earl in the right mindset to unburden himself.
"Jesse, it sure is quiet and beautiful up here. A man could learn to like a place like this."
"That's why we're here. Thought you might like to have some quiet time away from it all."
"I'm not dumb, Jesse. I hope you don't think I'm dumb."
"I know you're not. That's why I wonder why you stay on with your father if you don't believe that crap he spews." The explorer got dead silent. James Earl slumped forward, and Jesse thought he might be about to get sick. But it wasn't that at all. James Earl was crying, first quietly and then loudly. Jesse let him cry. It was time to let James Earl talk if he wanted to.
"They killed my brother."
Jesse knew better than to fill in the empty space.
"They killed him, and I stood by and I let them do it. I'm so fucking ashamed of myself, Jesse. Every time I think I can't sink any lower."
"There's always lower, James Earl. I know that from experience."
"Can a man kill himself jumping off these cliffs?"
"It's been done, but I won't let you do it." "You've got a choice to make," Jesse said. "You can get John W. some justice, or you can keep feeling sorry for yourself." James Earl was crying again. Jesse knew there were only so many tears in a man, even one as drunk as James Earl.
"They thought he was disposable, because he wasn't really one of us. He was Clarissa's boy."
"John Wilkes?"
"That's right. Daddy never had much regard for him, though I guess he loved him in his way."
"What about you? Does he love you?"
"In his way."
"Tell me how they did it, James Earl. Let me get some justice for your brother."
"I can't."
"Can't or won't?" Now Jesse was pressing him. When James Earl didn't answer, Jesse said, "How about I tell how it went down? Your brother Lee Harvey drove John from the shooting range to the Gray Gull and handed him a gun John W. must have thought was fully loaded. But your father couldn't risk John actually hitting Officer Davis or having a slug recovered, so the gun was loaded with blanks. After the shots were exchanged, Lee Harvey rappelled down, collected the gun, and climbed back up onto the warehouse roof. By the time Officer Davis got to John W., Lee Harvey had already rappelled down the other side of the building and was driving out of Paradise in a camel-painted Jeep."
"Holy shit! How the hell can you know that?"
James Earl stared at Jesse as if he'd pulled a rabbit out of a hat where there was no hat.
"You can't know that."
"But I do. Come on, James Earl, this is your chance to break away and to put an end to the hate right here and now." James Earl was thinking about it. Jesse gave him a last push. "How about getting your brother a little justice?"
"All right, Jesse. What do you need?"
"The missing gun would be best, but I'm sure it's been disposed of. Short of that, a sworn state..." Now James Earl was laughing.
"The gun ain't been disposed of. My daddy thinks I don't know it, but he's keeping it to put in a museum someday. You don't understand him, Jesse. He sees himself as some kind of messiah. He thinks there'll be a time when people see him like George Washington, that they'll build monuments to him for what he's done. And he thinks that gun will be part of a shrine or some such thing."
"You know where it is?"
"I do."
"Will you give me a statement now? I have a voice recorder. Tomorrow I can have it transcribed and you can sign it." James Earl hesitated, but agreed.